Don't you always want to be the best you can be?
The Frankie Boyer Show.
What is this?
It's more than a lifestyle show.
It's a show about living in today's world.
I think something is happening.
Frankie enthusiastically brings an amazing, eclectic mix to the airwaves.
You got that right.
One of the reasons she's earned legions of loyal fans is very simple. When you listen to the Frankie Boyer Show, you just never know what's going to happen next.
So listen for yourself.
Here is Frankie Boyer.
And welcome. It is so nice to have you with us right here on Biz Talk Radio. Joining me, our first guest today, is Dr. Richard Bandler. He's the author of Thinking on Purpose. Thinking on Purpose, a 15-day plan to a smarter life. And you have been doing workshops. You hold a PhD in psychology. You're the co-founder of NLP, Neuro-Linguistic Programming, which creates a new understanding of how verbal and nonverbal communications affect the brain. And it's really nice to have you with us today. You've published more than 30 books. Oh, my goodness. So the question becomes, we all have very good intentions. My late mother had an expression, people with good intentions are in institutions, you know. Why don't, which is what she used to say all the time, why don't good intentions translate into the desired outcomes? That's the question. Even though we really want those intentions.
Well, yeah, there's a real difference between wanting something and planning for it. And it's not just a concept difference, it's a neurological difference. When we desire things and we have a target, our neurology is designed to get it. When you're thirsty and you look at the glass of water in front of you, your hand reaches out, and at the point it touches the glass, it switches every muscle it's using and goes from reaching and to pulling. And the closer it gets to your mouth, the faster it goes because it has a target. And the closer it hones in on that target, the faster it goes. What happens is people think, well, I'd like to be like someone. You know, I'd like to be rich like Warren Buffett, or I'd like to be a good athlete, or I'd like to make better decisions, or I'd like to not be afraid of snakes, or not this or not that. But that doesn't tell you what to do. And if you imagine yourself having already achieved goals and you look at it and you go, I really want to be that person, and build that feeling of desire up, you can actually re-engineer how to get there. And step by step, your neurology will take over and take you there. Great athletes don't make pictures of themselves missing shots repeatedly.
No.
They think of themselves doing well, and it trains their neurology to practice right and to play right. And it's true in everything, because there's a physiological component and a psychological component to everything. NLP has been described as a lot of things, but basically it's the study of successful thinking. How do you think this way to get this result? This is part of the reason why for 45 years, my clients get better after they've been given up on by everybody. And some of those clients are athletes, some are musicians, and some are called schizophrenic or phobic or other things. Naming something doesn't necessarily tell you what to do. Understanding is overrated. Having a plan to get beyond things, that's what works.
So, okay, I'm listening to everything that you're saying, and I agree with you. Athletes work really hard. They devote their lives. Tom Brady always shares that it is his life. There's not, you know, one side of the hand or the other. This is his life, is his game and preparing, and he's sacrificed so much for this life. Now, he is focused. He's hyper-focused, beyond focused, and at his age, continues to be focused. We're not all Tom Brady, and he didn't get to be this way.
Well, we also don't all want to win 6 Super Bowls.
Right, but he didn't get this way.
Yesterday, I talked to a host, and she told me she wants to go to the gym, and she's constantly getting distracted. And I said to her, I said, if you look at yourself, having been the person who goes to the gym as regularly as you want to, and you look at yourself, do you desire to be her? And she went, yes, but I could hear in her voice the desire wasn't that strong. So I told her, I said, double the size of the picture, and then double it again. I said, do you feel more desire? And she said, yes. And I said, now what kinds of things distracted you? And she said, well, my friend asked me to go for, you know, happy hour. And I go, how big is that picture? And she goes, well, it's you know, almost as big as the picture we made. And I said, shrink it down. Because we choose between the images in our minds. We choose certain voices, maybe it's on the right or the left, as the ones we follow. Once we know that, then we can do it on purpose. We can start deciding to do the things we need to do and want to do because we understand how our thought processes work and how it influences us physiologically.
So is self-talk real important for this?
Well, it's important if you do it. If you're not a person that talks to yourself a lot, then it's not really that important. You know, some people think more in pictures. Some people think more in words. Everybody has a little bit of both. What's important is to know which voices you listen to and which ones you don't. Some voices tell you you make big mistakes and to feel bad, and you do. And that voice comes from the right side. And another voice goes, gee, I wish I was a better person, but you never listen to it. So sometimes you have to switch which voice is saying what, and everything changes almost automatically. See, whereas psychology is concerned with where problems come from, we're not so worried about that. We're concerned with where results come from. So I can take a person who's been terrified of spiders their whole life, change a few pictures in their head, and suddenly they're holding a tarantula.
Yeah.
Not that holding a tarantula is important, but I always ask them, I go, if you can do this, it really means everything that you don't think you can accomplish, you probably could, because if you change the way you think, it changes the way you feel, and
right,
therefore it changes what you can do. My book lays out where you spend 20 minutes or 15 minutes every day for 15 days, and you become a person with better plans, better motivation, making better decisions, getting over fears, not worrying about things that happened in the past. Because all that time accumulates. If you spend, you know, 15 minutes worrying, 15 minutes having regret, and, you know, 15 minutes being dubious about your possibilities, pretty soon you're spending an hour a day. Well, suddenly, you know, it's 365 hours a year, then it's 3,000 in 10 years, 12,000 in 40 years, and that's your plan. To waste that amount of time. And this book gets rid of the time wasting and focuses your attention on what you do and what you want to do, more importantly.
So why 15 days? So every morning you begin your day, or do you do it before you go to bed at night so that when you wake up in the morning the plan is set? How do you want us to do this?
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
It really doesn't make a difference. You can spend 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there. It's all laid out in tasks. You just read a short part of the book.
So give us one task that you would want us to do today to make change in our lives. Just one task.
One simple task is to be able to visualize yourself accomplishing what you want to accomplish. So if you're going to work and you hesitate to make cold calls, then you start by making a picture of yourself making these cold calls and doing well. And you listen to what the tone of your voice is until you go, geez, I really want to be like that. And as soon as you have that feeling, you make the picture bigger, right, so that you feel drawn towards it. So that when you look at a telephone, your response is to pick it up. If you're a guy that runs a company and you've been meaning to fire somebody for 3 years because they're not doing their job and they're costing you money, but you feel bad about doing it, and you again visualize yourself being the person that gets your job done. If you don't like them not doing your job is to get rid of them and hire somebody who will enjoy the job and enjoy the work and get it done. And if you make a clear enough picture, it tells your neurology to go towards it. if you hear your voice being firm and authoritarian, then your voice will come out more that way. And if you don't feel strong enough, you make the picture bigger, you make the picture brighter, you make the picture closer.
I love this stuff. I absolutely love this.
Okay. This is how your neurology works mechanically.
Yeah.
In response
absolutely.
To your thinking.
So the book is out right now. It's called Thinking on Purpose, a 15-day plan to a smarter life. Dr. Richard Bandler, what's the best website? How can people get more information about you?
Easy to remember, BandlerBooks.com. That will link you to all the difference. I've written now, I think, 32 books.
Wow.
This is the last. I keep...
Yeah. Thank you so much for being with us, and we'll be right back. I'm Frankie Boyer, and this is Biz Talk Radio.
Now you can watch business videos on demand. Go to bizvod.com for details. That's bizvod.com.
And welcome back. It is Frankie Boyer, Biz Talk Radio. Joining us now is Julie Ryan. Okay, she's an inventor, serial entrepreneur, psychic, medical intuitive, author, and she's with us today, and she has her own podcast. And Julie, this is a pleasure. Welcome.
Thanks, Frankie. I'm delighted to be with you.
So you're an inventor. You've invented a number of water used surgical devices. You've found 9 companies. I mean, you have been doing you do so many things. So tell us, when did you realize that you had this psychic ability, or did you always have it and stuff it, or tell us the story?
Well, I like to tell people I'm a businesswoman that learned how to do woo-woo. And the truth of the matter is, I don't know that I knew that I had this ability until I learned how to access it and utilize it and enhance it. I'm not one of those psychics who's had dead people chasing her since childhood, or if I did, I didn't know it. So I learned how to become a medical intuitive and psychic, and I've been doing it for 25 years for family and friends primarily, and then I sold my medical device manufacturing company in 2015 and decided to devote more time to this niche in my life, and it's really been a magical, wondrous ride.
So your new book is out. It's called Angelic Attendance. Tell us about the book.
Well, it's angelic attendance, what really happens as we transition from this life into the next. And it talks about and describes what happens as far as the spiritual side of the equation is concerned. We're all surrounded by deceased loved ones and angels who eventually the angels escort us to heaven, all of us. Everybody goes to heaven. You know, like that movie, Frankie, all dogs go to heaven. All people
yes.
go to heaven, too.
Yes.
Regardless of what you believe, what you don't believe, you know, if you've done things that society would think are good things or bad things, it doesn't matter. Everybody goes to heaven. And I believe that all of us, especially in the Western culture, are so inundated with hell and damnation and you know, evil spirits and all that kind of nonsense that's been fabricated over the millennia to help control the masses by religions and different cultures. And so I haven't been able to find anything that really resembles what I see when somebody's dying. So it talks about the 12 phases of transition, talks about my story, how I came to learn how to do all of this woo-woo stuff that I do. And also it has several heartwarming stories in it about families with whom I've worked. So
yes.
It's very uplifting. It's very heartwarming. It's an easy read. It's fast. And I've gotten lots of thank yous from families around the world who say that it made just a heart, a heart-wrenching experience into has a glorious component to it.
Right. So do you find that life is more fun for you today because you get to do what you love and you're in a position that you can do that?
It's more fun because as an entrepreneur, for the first time in my life, and as you mentioned, I have founded 9 companies in 5 different industries over my 35-year career. What I'm doing is I'm doing this, Frankie, and I'm just letting it unfold naturally. I don't have measurables. I don't have business plans. I don't have partners. I don't have investors. I don't have all of that stuff. And so it's been really magical, truly, to just watch it unfold in ways that there's no way I could have predicted.
Right.
And so, yes, I'm having a blast. Most of the work that I do is on the medical intuitive side. People, I work with people around the world who have been to multiple doctors in most cases, and the doctors can't figure out what's going on with them. And so I can scan them, and in my mind's eye, I hook into them wherever they are, anywhere in the world, remotely. And in my mind's eye, I'm able to see the equivalent of CT scans, MRIs, X-rays, and I can tell what's going on. And then there's always energetic healings that happen that oftentimes will emulate what I saw in the operating room for all those years and other medical procedures. And then sometimes the healings involve devices and methods that I don't believe have been invented yet.
Fascinating. So my first question to you is, when you first started doing this medical intuitive stuff 25 years ago, mm-hmm. you say you learned it, but is there a family gene that you have that you've inherited? Because, you know, we talk to a lot of different intuitives and psychics, and they say that, yeah, my father, my grandmother, my great-grandmother, my mother, you know, there's somebody in the family that has that intuitive piece.
Well, I believe we're all intuitive. We're all born with intuitive capabilities. And perhaps some of us have more than others, but I think we enhance them as we utilize them. And small children often will tell their parents, I have people tell me all the time about a child or a grandchild who said, you're my favorite mommy of all my mommies. And the mom will say, well, hey, I'm your only mommy. They'll say, no, mom, babies are born to a mommy and daddy, and then they die. They grow up, and then they die, and then they're born to another mommy and daddy, and you're my favorite mommy of all my mommies.
Oh,
now,
wow.
There's no way a 3-year-old's going to know that. And I hear many, many instances of that. So what I find, Frankie, is that oftentimes children will say these things. And then by the age of about 6 or 7, the filters start to get put in place so that we forget a lot of that consciously so we can have the experiences in this lifetime that we came to experience. But back to your question about family members. No, I learned how to do this. It's like you go to law school to be a lawyer. You go to plumbing school to learn how to be a plumber. You know, I went to medical intuitive and psychic school for 6 years and studied a curriculum that was formulated by a former NASA physicist who
wow.
put together a curriculum, which actually one can get a Bachelor of Science degree. They get a bachelor's degree in this stuff. But I differ from most psychics and intuitives in that I learned how to do this stuff and I turn my abilities on and off at will. I don't walk around scanning people. I don't walk around seeing dead people. I turn
right.
my abilities on. And because it's an ethical thing for me. I
yeah,
think it's
yeah.
unethical.
This
you know,
is so fascinating. Fascinating. The best website to people find out more about you, your book, your podcast, where do they go?
They go to askjulieryan.com.
Askjulieryan.com.
And I just started a training too where people can learn how to do this stuff and you can find information
very cool.
on that site.
Very, very exciting. Thank you so much. This was fun. Thanks, Julie. And we'll
you
be
bet.
Back
Thank
in
you.
Just and we'll be back in just a moment. I'm Frankie Boyer and this is Biz Talk Radio. Stay tuned.
offer.
Biz Talk Radio is powered by Freedom Solar. Find out more at freedomsolar.com. Biz Talk Radio.
Welcome back. It's Frankie Boyer. This is Biz Talk Radio, and we're now joined with a woman that has really gives us motivation. It's such an inspiring story. Four-time U.S. team medalist in the martial arts is with us today. And Tammy Stamps, welcome. It's a pleasure to have you with us. A former medalist.
Thank you so much.
Former medalist of the U.S. United States team, popular singer-songwriter, fifth-degree black belt master instructor, and all of those wonderful things, and a victim of severe sexual abuse, suffered at the hands of her father during four decades of hell. And it's in her debut novel, memoir, it's called Our Time, a true story of 43 years of abuse, survival, and a life changed forever. Oh my gosh, what a story.
Well, thank you, Frankie. I appreciate you having me on.
So, tell us a little bit about growing up from Wichita, Kansas.
Yes, that's where I grew up. I was born in California. We moved to Wichita, Kansas, and lived in town for a little bit, and then, of course, moved out to the country. And I had two sisters, and one is, they're both half-sisters. One I had never met, it's my father's daughter, and he was not allowed to see her after age two because he was inappropriate with her. So growing up, I was the youngest. And it was all about control and fear-based. And my dad was very violent, controlling, and he just, you know, very abusive, emotional, sexual, and physical abuse. And it lasted for 43 years.
Wow. So, unfortunately, this is not such an uncommon story, Tammy.
No, the abuse is not uncommon, unfortunately, but the amount of time that it was endured makes it very unique.
So, you want people to know that you can break free, and especially little girls and young women. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, for me, whenever... It's just for me, but abuse, you know, when you're going through it, you want someone to see it so badly, but you're so scared that they will, because either way, your life is, it's turmoil. But you've got to find someone you trust, and you have to have a voice. In my situation, I was too scared to have a voice and threatened to have it. And so the only way that I got out was through someone else caring enough to look. And that wasn't until age 43. And, you know, there were signs before that, but either people chose not to see them or to ignore them. But you have to find a voice. And I'm so happy these days that people are starting to stand up. And I know it's hard at a young age, but I believe we need to educate our youth and empower them to be able to know that they can say no, that they can stand up and they can use their voice.
Were you able to get any satisfaction of getting of your father getting any prison sentence or anything like that?
No, I filed charges against him because I was the last sibling at home, and my mother and I believed we were close at the time, and she was still there with him. And as I said, he was violent. And so the police said the only way that I could get her out was to file charges. And, of course, that was fine with me. So I filed charges, but it was interesting because the investigator came out and talked to me. And he said, well, Tammy, you know, it happened for 43 years. You're going to lose. It was, you know, everybody's going to think it was consensual. And I wrote, it was not. And he interviewed my father, and he had the audacity to come back and tell me that, he said, your father, he's twisted, but he's a good man.
Wow.
You know, and so at that point I said, you know, I just want my life. There's no one at home. I just want them to leave me alone so I can have my life and I move forward.
So you say the book is not written to hurt anybody. It's about your truth, your experiences, your struggles, and it's also about the small victories you've had during your healing journey. And,
yes.
And tell us about that, because people need to hear about the healing.
Well, the healing is lifelong. You know, even today, several years later, you know, I left in 2004. Every day is a struggle. You know, the triggers, the body reactions, being molded for that long of a period of time by people that were also sick individuals, it takes a long time to get past that. And I believe you deal with it every day. But it's a healing journey. And I think one thing that really helped me was in writing my book, it gave me a voice I had never had. And I remember I was getting ready to do a book signing. And I looked in the mirror, I was getting ready, and my eyes, you know, I made eye contact with myself. And all of a sudden, this voice came in my head, and it said, your heart is beating, you're breathing, you are a survivor, and I'm so proud of you. And tears just came down my face. And at that moment, I began to love myself. And I think you can only start healing when you get to the point where you love yourself, you appreciate yourself, you are so amazed at what you have endured, and you're still standing. You're still standing. And so healing, I think, is huge. And if you just try and sweep it under the rug, it's just going to do you harm, no one else.
Right. You say that music was very important for healing to you, for you.
Yes. Yes, it was. You know, there were basically four things that saved my life besides the person that actually, you know, saw what was going on. But martial arts and music were the two major things that saved my life, because in music it gave me a voice that I couldn't have. And then with the martial arts, of course, it gave me a positive venue to use my anger in a positive way. And then I also had a dog that actually really did save my life. She taught me what love was, how to love, and that, you know, I was lovable. I didn't feel that way before. And the last thing, of course, was I had a shirt over my face during a lot of the abuse, which saved me some heartache as well. But I remember growing up, and I would go into my room, and I would put my headphones on, and Celine Dion just happened to be my favorite singer, and I would crank her music up, and she was the one artist that would make me feel. She made my heart crack where I could start to feel, because when you're going through abuse, the only thing you feel is pain, and it's too painful, so you stop feeling. And I would put that music on, and it really touched me where nothing else did, and I could feel it. So I started writing my own music when I actually left the abusive situation.
What do you think society needs to do to protect the innocent and the voiceless from the cycle of abuse?
I think truly that people need to care enough to look. That is what that's what made the difference in my life, was one person. One person, we had a talent show at my martial arts academy, and I was going to sing that evening. And so I had some of the students and some were my friends in the front row. Well, there was one chair behind me, and it was my father. And one of my friends saw the way my father was looking at me. And she came up to me the next day when I was by myself, and she said, Tammy, someone's hurt you. And I had been so scared, I said, no, they haven't, I'm fine. And I was hoping she'd go away, but at that moment, my heart just went into my throat. And the next day, she came up and she said, Tammy, I know who it was that hurt you. And I said, who? And she said, your father. And within 1 week, I was gone. And so it takes people to care enough to look into someone's eyes. That's where we hide our pain. And people need to look for that and then listen and believe people and reach out and help them any way that they can. in my opinion, society is starting to stand up. But in my opinion, you know, the way they handle abuse, sometimes they take the child out of the home and they leave the perpetrator there while, yeah, you know, they're filing charges. And that just makes it easier for the child to get re-abused by someone else. And to me, that's backwards. But that's my opinion.
So,
but
do you think that martial arts in many ways saved your life?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it was ironic because my father.
I can't believe we're out of time. What's the best website, Tammy?
Oh, it's ourtimestory.com.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing your story. Took a lot of courage. We appreciate it. And we'll be back in a moment. Frankie Boyer, Biz Talk Radio.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
Welcome back. Frankie Boyer, Biz Talk Radio. Rhonda Reeves now joins us, an award-winning veteran in the field of PR, and she is an independent in charge of Rhonda Reeves Public Relations. And we're so thrilled she's with us today. She's written a book. It's called Profit and Prosper with Public Relations, Inside Secrets to Make You a Success. And she's the recipient of the Publicist of the Year honor. And she is with us today, but you're not with us to talk about your PR firm. You're with us to share with all of us that harrowing, horrible morning that you got a recorded call that changed your life and everyone else's life in your area. So do share with us, Rhonda, and welcome. It's a pleasure.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Frankie. I'm very honored to be here.
So tell us what happened that morning.
Yes. Well, you know, it was really a shock and a surprise. I used to live in the Seminole Springs Mobile Home Park, and 110 of our homes burnt to the ground right where I was. But what happened is it was a Thursday night on the 8th of November, and I was already in bed and, you know, ready to go to sleep. And I got a phone call from a friend of mine, and they said, you know, they're evacuating your area, maybe you ought to turn on the news. And so I got up and I got dressed. I opened the door, and I could smell all kinds of smoke. But we still weren't notified to leave yet. So I had my car happened to be in the shop, and I didn't have a car or a way out. So I contacted a neighbor, and we talked to each other, but eventually a couple hours later, maybe it was maybe 12:30, 1 in the morning or going on to 2, we began to get robocalls, and the robocalls made it really loud and clear that we had to leave. So we gathered our things, and all I could take basically was what I was wearing, and I grabbed a few trash bags and put a bunch of clothes in them, and some toiletries and a couple of important papers, and that's it. I took what I could fit on my lap, basically, because we had to share a car.
Wow.
And so there wasn't an easy way out because the freeways were closed and Pacific Coast Highway was closed. So we took Mulholland Highway, and we were really the only car on the road, and by this time it was 3 a.m., and right after, a few hours later, after we drove down the road, the place we drove through had kind of burnt up, so it's now closed near the Peter Strauss Ranch. But it was quite an ordeal that night.
Oh, I bet. And unfortunately, all of you lost everything. The entire, that Woolsey Flat fire was just, it just destroyed everything.
It really did. And you see, we didn't know our fate right away. Obviously, the fire that took our homes came pretty much the next morning. It was, I would guess, somewhere between 9:30 in the morning till maybe 11 in the morning, somewhere in that range. And so we were glued to the sets and checking phones and things and trying to reach neighbors. And my friend had reached our president of our homeowners who had a house there, and she was saying, oh my gosh, the flames are coming near, because she, some of the neighbors actually spent the night there and left later than we did, but she could tell that her house was going to go up, and this was before we knew about our own homes, and so we were kind of on pins and needles, but within the day, they listed the different houses and things, and we realized we have nothing to come back to. So I lost all my office equipment as well, because I had my office in my
home.
Sure,
you lost everything. What's it been like for you? Yeah, what's it been like for you for the past few months?
Well, you know, you may find this a little hard to believe, but since then, I've lived in 11 places.
Wow. I don't find that hard to believe, because you have to. I mean, you know, you have to go from friend to family to wherever you can get a place. Yeah.
Yes. I went to friends and families, and I did some house sitting and pet sitting, and then I've been at hotels and looking around for possible out of state for another housing, you know, to see if there was something to buy somewhere else, and then came back to town. So before I knew it, I'm now in dwelling 11 in 3 months.
Wow. So tell me, how do you rebuild, Rhonda? How do you get up every day and deal with this?
Well, you know, my case was probably 1,000 degrees different than everyone else's, because the minute that I heard that I no longer had anything left to my name, you know, no house, no belongings, no family heirlooms or pictures or anything, I made a snap decision, and I've held on to it ever since. And my decision in that moment was, you know, Rhonda, you can either accept this or you can go kicking and screaming. So I took the acceptance door. And I've never really looked back. I've been pretty upbeat, and I've decided, you know, I'm just going to move forward. I'm going to treat this as a new adventure. I'm going to see, you know, where life leads me. I'm extremely grateful that I'm alive, and all of our neighbors got out safely, including the elderly and children and pets, and no one died. No one got injured, which was a miracle. And,
absolute
and
miracle.
As luck would have it, I actually found a new home, and we close escrow tomorrow.
Oh, Rhonda, what a lovely ending to this story.
Yes, yes, and I'm thrilled. I mean, it is going to take quite a while to rebuild Seminole Springs. It was the loveliest place for anyone to live. It had hiking trails and a lake, and it was right in the Santa Monica Mountains near Malibu and Westlake Village and Calabasas, and just a lovely community. We had lots of friends. But, you know, we're all in touch with each other. We have an incredible spirit, and we meet regularly at homeowner meetings. So, like, we keep the thread going, and lifelong friends out of it.
Oh, Rhonda, thank you so much for sharing your story. What's the website for more information about you and your work?
Well, I'll tell you.
We got to go, Rhonda, real quick.
Okay. www.rhondareesepr.com. And there's
awesome. We got to run. Thank you, Rhonda. Thank all of you. This has been another edition of the Frankie Boyer Show for Biz Talk Radio. Thanks for listening. Make it a great day. And as always, smile.
Though your heart is aching, smile, even though it's breaking. When there are clouds in the sky, you'll get by if you smile.